This morning in the book of Luke, chapter 15. Once again, lest you think I'm forgetful, I have preached out this passage many times through the years, but there's a brother to preach about, there's a prodigal to preach about, and there is a father to preach about. And so this morning on this Father's Day in Luke chapter 15, as we read together, Jesus continued, "There was a man who had two sons. The younger one said to his father, 'Father, give me my share of the estate.' So he divided his property between them. Not long after that, the younger son got together all that he had, set off for a distant country, and there squandered his wealth in wild living. After he had spent everything, there was a severe famine in that whole country, and he began to be in need. So he went and hired himself out to a citizen of that country who sent him to his fields to feed pigs. He longed to fill his stomach with the pods that the pigs were eating, but no one gave him anything. When he came to his senses, he said, 'How many of my father's hired men have food to spare? And here I'm starving to death. I will set out and go back to my father and say to him, Father, I've sinned against heaven and against you. I'm no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me like one of your hired men.' So he got up and went to his father. But while he was still a long way off, his father saw him and was filled with compassion for him. He ran to his son, threw his arms around him, and kissed him. The son said to him, 'Father, I've sinned against heaven and against you, and I'm no longer worthy to be called your son.' But the father said to his servants, 'Quick, bring the best robe and put it on him. Put a ring on his finger and sandals on his feet. Bring the fattened calf and kill it. Let's have a feast and celebrate, for this son of mine was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found.' So they began to celebrate. Meanwhile, the older son was in the field. When he came near the house, he heard music and dancing. So he called one of the servants and asked him what was going on. 'Your brother has come,' he replied. 'Your father has killed the fattened calf because he has him back safe and sound.' The older brother became angry and refused to go in. So the father went out and pleaded with him. But he answered his father, 'Look, all these years I've been slaving for you, never disobeyed your orders, yet you never gave me even a young goat so I could celebrate with my friends. But when the son of yours who has squandered your property with prostitutes comes home, you kill the fattened calf for him.' 'My son,' the father said, 'you are always with me, and everything I have is yours. But we had to celebrate and be glad because this brother of yours was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found.'" Would you bow with me as we pray? Father God, as we pause on this Father's Day today, I pray you would bless us. Father, help us today to be able to see from this familiar passage of Scripture something that we can apply on this Father's Day. Father, speak to our hearts, I pray, in Christ's name. And all God's people said, I believe all of us could say this morning that the Bible is a very fascinating book. In fact, you see all kinds of stories that are written in the Scripture, pictures, scenes, settings. You see, we see a picture, and that picture can turn into a window. And then we begin to see beyond the surface of all of that. And as we look at the story, we no longer see the picture, but it forces us to get a new direction. The picture becomes a window, and then we begin to see ourselves. And if we persist long enough, we see that this window then becomes a mirror. We see a reflection of who we are. The story is no longer about some historical character or events out there in a distant land, but the story becomes a mirror. of our own story. And when Jesus told this story about the prodigal son, many have called it the pearl of the parables. Others call it the gospel in the gospel. But Jesus here paints for you and me on this Father's Day an unforgettable picture. It's a picture of love. It's a picture of redemption. It's a picture of second chances in life. And in this particular parable, Jesus tells us about a father and how he relates to these sons in the story. If you're a parent here this morning, you know all too well that kids can become rebellious. You know all too well that siblings become bossy and siblings feud and fuss among themselves. You as a parent, I lived through days of tears as well as through days of joy and sadness. Sometimes it all happens in one day. And on this Father's Day this morning, to understand the Father that Jesus is speaking of, we look at some obvious facts. First of all, to all of you parents out there, parenting isn't an easy task. It's certainly not for wimps or for cowards, as Dr. Dobson tells us. He says, in the best of times, parenting is difficult. In the worst of times, it seems impossible. This prodigal son in the story has a mother as well as a father, even though she's not mentioned here in the stories. Mothers especially know how tough parenting assignments can be. Ladies, you can relate to this morning. When I tell you this story, I'm reminded of a lady who was going door to door to raise money for a charity, and she knocked on her neighbor's door, and she said, "I'm gathering donations for the new children's home. I hope that you will help me today. I hope that you will give me what you can." And the lady looked at the other lady and said, "What is it that you need? I have two boys, two girls. You can have one of each. You can have them both. But would you take them right now? You pick." Parenting. It can be a great emotional roller coaster ride. One minute you're proud of your kids, and the very next minute they are embarrassing you in some way. But let me tell you, you're scared every time that they take off in their car down the road. You breathe a sigh of relief when they return back home and they're safe and sound. And then the day they marry or they go away to college, it becomes your happiest day, and yet it becomes your saddest day. You see the laughter and the tears get all mixed up together. And then one day you become a grandparent, and then you really have your chance to get even. Today, as we look at the father of the prodigal, a father here with two sons, both of them were grown. Whether there were other children in the family is not the point of the narrative of this story, but here we see that this father is going to deal with some observational truths that we know that Jesus is speaking from this earthly story that has a heavenly meaning. There in your bulletin, you'll find the 4 points. Number one, truth number one, observation number one that we can make from Jesus' story is this: the love of the Father is lavished. The love of the Father is lavished on this situation. You see the love. You see it in this father's actions. Diana sang a few moments so beautifully the song, "Well done, well done." And let me tell you, the father had done well. He had a great estate. He had servants that worked for him. And I'm sure, like most dads, he didn't just work all those years to expand his farm, his ranch, all of the things that he had accumulated and amassed in life just to sit down when he's old and count his money. No, he had worked all of those years for those two boys. He wanted their lives to be better. He wanted their lives to be easier, perhaps, than he himself had it. And so in the narrative of the story, we saw what the prodigal son did. Father, I want what's mine. Give it to me now. And he goes and he lives a wild life filled with all of the experience out there that he wanted to experience in life. And let me tell you, then he squanders it all away. But I want you to know, fathers, this morning, you know what I'm speaking about, that love. Fathers may not express love like mothers express love, but it doesn't mean that fathers love their children any less than the mother does. Dads just usually show it in a different way by the provisions that they have for their children, the many activities that their kids are privileged to go to. Being a father is certainly not an easy task in the world that you and I live in. And the sacrifices that parents make to provide for you kids, it's so important. Your parents work hard, they provide. They sacrifice so that you might have things that perhaps they never did have. And so we see the love of the Father is lavished here on the Son, but there's something else here that the Father's love we see in the story. And the Father's love is letting go. There comes a moment in time. You've reared your children. You've done the best that you know how to do. I mean, after all, when you left the hospital, they didn't give you a manual to tell you how to raise that child. And so you just have to feel your way through or read all of the self-help books that are out there on parenting skills. But let me tell you, there came a day that this father, he had to let go. He had to let his son make his own choices out there in the world at large. And so we see the first observational truth that Jesus is portraying in this story, the love of the Father that is lavished here on his sons. But there's a second observational truth here. Children can break your hearts. Children can break your hearts. I'm sure that that was the case with this father that Jesus is speaking about. I mean, the younger one came, he wanted it, he took it. His father had worked hard, he had amassed a great estate. And this young man takes and he goes out there and he lives wildly with all of the sexual immorality that is out there in the world. And not only did he expose himself to it, he participated in those experiences. He wasted the money, and then he finally, one day when he falls flat on his face, he comes back to his senses. You see, the Bible is filled with stories of broken hearts. The Bible is filled with stories of parents of broken hearts. Let me tell you, whenever I think about Adam and Eve and those two sons of theirs, Cain and Abel, and there came a day where Cain hated his brother Abel and Cain murdered his brother. I can only imagine the heartbrokenness of Adam and Eve. Or let's take Isaac and Rebekah when they had Jacob and Esau. And those two siblings, they fought. And it became so heated that Jacob fled for his life. And Jacob, later in years of his life, whenever we think about him having all of the sons that he had, and to learn how that all of his other sons hated the one named Joseph. He was the younger brother. And then to think those sons came home one day and told their father, Joseph's no longer with us. He's been killed by a wild animal and he is no more. If you can only imagine. But one of the most heart-wrenching stories of a broken-hearted father is found in the book of 2 Samuel, chapters 13 all the way through 18. This gripping story of King David's oldest son, Amnon. He became obsessed with his half-sister, Tamar. And Amnon's infatuation, his lustful eyes led to where he sexually assaulted his half-sister Tamar. He violated her. He abused her. And her full brother, Absalom, was furious. Absalom was angry. Absalom was angry that King David, his father, acted foolishly and irresponsibly and did not take care of that situation. And so Absalom plotted, he planned, he waited for a day that he could get Amnon alone. And of course, he took care of that situation and he killed Absalom killed his half-brother because of violating his sister Tamar. And then Absalom fled because he was fearful for his own life. He went to his mother's parents' house and stayed with them for safety. He was there for a long time. David's heart was broken. He mourns the death of the one son and the absence of the other son. 3 years down the road, one of David's generals convinced King David to let Absalom come back home. King David allows him to come back home, but when he comes back, for some reason, David refused to see him. Let me tell you, the parental conflict that's at play in this story is incredible. It's as up-to-date as tomorrow's newspaper. With some persuasion, 2 years after he returns back, David finally welcomes Absalom home with hugs and kisses, but that's not the happy ending of the story that you and I wish it could be. Later, because of some pent-up resentment for his father, Absalom, he gets a coup together. He conspiratorially, he gets an army to go against his father. And so, because of that, he goes and sits on the throne, but he's got his armed forces, and they attack David's city. Absalom moves into the palace. He did everything that he could to humiliate his own father, David. Civil war broke out, and David's forces head to the battle. The king has only one request. David says to his coup, "Here's my one request, be gentle with the young man Absalom for my sake." The battle followed. David's army carried the day, but unfortunately Absalom was killed. A messenger came to King David's house that day to tell of the victory, but David didn't even ask about, were the men home yet? How many of his men were killed? The only question David asked was this. He wanted to know, is Absalom safe? Is Absalom safe? And then the next scene that we see in that intense, a picture of a brokenhearted father overcome with grief. The messenger comes and he says, the king was shaken. He went up the room over the gateway and wept. As he went, he said, "Oh, my son Absalom, if only I had died instead of you, oh, Absalom, my son." Let me tell you, parents, I know you today are the experts in the field of parenting and rearing your children, and I know this morning that you know. But I'm reminded by these observational truths that Jesus shared in this story that kids can break a parent's heart. Even the best parents can have children that do things they wish they wouldn't do. Like David, if they could, they would take their child's place. But that was not possible. The prodigal father loved his sons. He loved both of them in this story. And both of these sons in this chapter 15 of the book of Luke this morning, both of the prodigal father's sons broke the father's heart. There's a third observational truth this morning on this Father's Day, and it's this. Not only the love of the Father that's lavished here in the story, secondly, not only children can break your heart, but thirdly, the Father never, ever gave up in loving his sons. All the time that one son was gone, wasting what the Father had worked for, the Father waited. He waited day after day, week after week, month after month. He waited and he watched. And finally, one day, in the far distance down the road, he sees the son coming back. And the father is so excited, with the open arms, he runs down the road to embrace this son. Now, let me tell you, in that day, young people, for a wealthy man like the prodigal father, he was running, and they had long flowing robes, and that wasn't very dignitarious, if there is such a term, as this father began to run, because in that day, that would be a great embarrassment. It would be humiliating. It would be degrading for someone of his stature to do that. But let me tell you, on this particular day, when a lost son was coming home, this father could have cared less about what the culture of the day was dictating. And it was like the son had been dead, but now he's alive. Let me tell you, the love of the Father is lavish. Jesus is telling us. Jesus is showing us here that in everyday life, kids can break your heart. Jesus was showing us here that the Father never, ever gave up loving his son. Parents, whatever your kids have done, they're still your kids. They will always be your kids. They have your DNA. Whatever they do, wherever they go, whatever they may foul up in life, let me tell you, they're still your children. The father here, he never gave up on the son that had gone astray in life. But there's a third and a last observational truth here in the prodigal father's story this morning. A father's greatest joy comes with seeing his children do well. All of the pain and the hurts disappear. The tears turn to joy. The past may not always be forgotten, but it is forgiven. Let me tell you, we want to celebrate with our children. Nothing makes a parent happier than to have them home again. Notice how Jesus ended the story. The father put a ring on the son's finger, a robe on his back, shoes on his feet. He orders the fattened calf to be killed and has a great big welcome home party. We know the name of the story is the prodigal son, because the word prodigal means squander, and he squandered the wealth in wild and reckless living. But let me tell you, in this story of the prodigal father, let me tell you, he spared no expense. In the celebration of a son that had come back home. But let me give you the rest of the story. In closing today, behind this tale, and Luke 15 is another story. Remember, I said at the beginning of the sermon that Bible stories become pictures, that become windows, that become a mirror in our life, a reflection of our own lives sometimes. Jesus is saying here, this is more than a sentimental parable about a father and the perils of parenting. We don't really need anyone to explain that to us. No one leaves and comes back home sometimes, but the other one stayed. The prodigal left, the other brother stayed at home. And the father in this story, for our focus today, is representative of the heavenly Father. He's the Bible. He is the Father, the Bible says, from whom his whole family in heaven and on earth derives its name. You see, the parable here, it's an earthly story that has a heavenly meaning. And this is the parable. And in this, we see the Father's love. Your Father, your Heavenly Father, loves you this morning. He loves you with an extravagant love. 1 John 3:1, how great, how great. See what great love the Father has lavished on us, that we should be called children of God. And that's what we are. The reason the world does not know us is that it did not know Him. Let me tell you, Jeremiah 31:3, I have loved you with an everlasting love. Romans 5:5, God has poured His love into our hearts by the Holy Spirit whom He has given us. Max Lucado says, and by the way, fathers and young men, that's the book that I gave you today on Max Lucado and his daily devotionals. Max Lucado illustrates this truth with these words. He said, if God had a refrigerator, your picture would be on it. If God had a wallet, your photo would be in it. He sends you flowers every spring and a sunrise every morning. Whenever you want to talk with Him, He'll listen. He can live anywhere in the universe, but He chose to live in your heart. Not only does your Heavenly Father love you, He hurts when we break His heart. We break His heart every day. Jeremiah 29:11 says, for I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you a hope and a future. Then you will call upon me and come and pray to me, and I will listen to you. You will seek me and find me when you seek me with all your heart. You see, Romans 3:23 says, we've all sinned and come short of the glory of God. Let me tell you, our sin is rebellion. And we see the Father loves us in spite of us. He's always waiting with open arms, waiting, watching, longing for us to come back home. And like the Father in this story in Luke's gospel, 1 John 1:8-9 says, if we claim to be without sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth's not in us. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. I want to close with this illustration. J.C. Ryle tells of a mother whose daughter ran away and became involved in a lot of things that broke her mother's heart. For a long time, no one knew where she was. But finally, she came back and she turned to Christ in repentance. Someone asked her mother, what did you do all the time that your daughter was away? She said, I prayed for her day and night. She went on to say, every night I left the door unlocked because I didn't want my daughter to come home in the middle of the night and find the door locked. One night she did come home. She tried the door. She found it unlocked and she went in. That's a picture of the heart of God this morning. The door's always open for you and me to come back home. You see, the lesson today on this Father's Day from the prodigal son is this: our Father's greatest joy awaits our return. It's the joy of the lost sheep that's found. It's the joy of a precious coin that is recovered there in Luke 15, or a boy that comes home, as in the story in Luke 15 of the prodigal son. He is a lavish father who loves in spite of who we are. Let me tell you, the resentful brother, think about him today. The father had these two sons. One left, one stayed, one came home. One was resentful. Let me tell you, whatever the issue is today, fathers, with your children, a lot of kids are estranged from their parents. A lot of kids are out there in the world. They've walked away from home. They've walked away from seemingly the way you brought them up in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord, and you're questioning, why, God? Why, God, I did all the right things, all the things I knew to do. I took them to vacation Bible school. I took them to Sunday school. I took them to church. I prayed for them day and night. Folks, let me tell you, just like the father in the story, he had to let go. He had to realize that he could only take those kids so far. And out there in the world, all he could hope was for the very best, that he had solidified for them a fundamental foundation of faith in Almighty God, and to live the right way and to do the right things. Let me tell you, parents, this morning, you can do the very best you can, and then you have to let go. You have to let go and let them make their own choices. Some of those choices will be right. Some of those will be wrong. Some of those will be good. Some of those will be bad. There will be those times in life. But let me tell you, children and parents alike cannot continue day after day, week after week, year after year, blaming yourself, filled with guilt. Somewhere you have to let it go. And the father was standing there on that day. I can only imagine on that day, as he looked down the road, as he had many times before, and there comes the wayward son. But there's the son that's been at home all this time. He's at home, but his lights aren't on. He's been with the father, but yet he's not with the father. How many people out there in the world once were in church, grew up in a home, knew the responsibilities that God left in his word, that are wandering out there? The song says, I've wandered far away from God, now I'm coming home. The paths of sin too long I've trod, Lord, I'm coming home. Would you stand as we pray together?
Father God, as we pause on this Father's Day, thank you for the words of life this morning. Thank you that we see life just the way it is in this story. We see the truth of life. We see the good, the bad, the ugly, the indifferent. And oh God, as we see the Father with open arms extended wide, waiting, watching, longing for that day, for that child to come back home to God. Father, if there's someone here this morning that needs to be saved, that needs to come and express that, or to come to these altars and pray, may they just come right now during this prayer, to kneel here and pray for their kids, their families. Dads, moms, I would encourage you, if you can, come down to these altars right now. Just pray for your kids, your grandkids. It's a tough world out there. It's a cruel world out there. Maybe there's somebody listening this morning driving down the road. You just need to say, oh God, help me. Oh God, help me hold on. Oh God, help me. Help me just live the rest of my days with the expectant hope to know that it's all going to be okay. Father, this is your invitation. In Christ's name we pray.